In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. When our Lord had finished his Sermon on the Mount, he manifested his glory. He revealed himself as the Lord of Jews and of Gentiles, the one whose word cleanses the unworthy by faith. And out of today's gospel, three particular phrases have found their way into the service of the church. So let us learn from this gospel how to take up God's word ourselves. The first phrase is what the leper who is healed and the centurion whose servant is healed have in common. They both come to Jesus and they address him as Lord. And they use in Greek this word, Kyrie. Now, sometimes this word in the Gospels might be able to just be translated as, Sir, help us. It's a polite way to address any old rabbi. But you and I know this word. We've heard it before. We've seen it, Kyrie, because there is even a part of the divine service that is named after it. And in some places, it's still sung in Greek today, even if that congregation is in America or in Europe or places that don't speak Greek. Kyrie eleison is the phrase. It means, Lord, have mercy. This prayer, Lord, have mercy, the Kyrie, this is our most basic prayer as Christians. If you ever find yourself in trouble and you don't even know what to pray, then you can pray this. You can say, Lord, have mercy on me. And that pretty much covers it all. This prayer includes every other prayer, every other petition you could possibly come up with. And it sums all of them up. And it's also at the same time not just a plea for mercy, not just a plea for forgiveness or for grace, but it is a confession of God Himself, who God is. Christ Jesus is Lord. And our Lord shows His divine power chiefly in showing mercy. He has compassion on the suffering, on the sorrowful, on the sinful. Our Kyrios, our Lord, is merciful. And so we are not afraid to call upon Him in every trouble, to pray, to praise, and to give thanks to Him. Kyrie. Now in the gospel reading, Kyrie also helps to emphasize Jesus' epiphany, this word, Lord. The leper calls Jesus Lord. And for a Jewish leper like this to call the word Lord, Lord, Jesus Lord, that is, in Hebrew, this is the particular name used for God, Yahweh, the I Am, the Lord, your God. This is the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And that God is none other than this man who stands in front of this leper. That God is none other than Jesus of Nazareth. And since Jesus sends this man off to the priests at the temple to offer the usual sacrifices commanded for a leper by Moses, we can see this man is a Jew. He knows what he's saying when he says, Lord. But then, this centurion, this Roman centurion, a Gentile, also calls Jesus Lord, and he receives healing. And then Jesus says, marveling at his faith, we can have no doubt that he had faith. Jesus says, Amen, I tell you, many shall come from the east and the west to sit at table and eat with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, all those three Jewish patriarchs. The Gentiles have every right to call Jesus their I Am, their Lord also. He is our Kyrie, our Kyrios. He's Lord not by flesh and blood. Indeed, many sons of the kingdom will be cast out into the darkness on that day. But those who trust in Jesus Christ as Lord, they are the true sons. They have the Lord as their own Lord because they have found Him revealed in mercy. This then is the first great portion of God's word from today's gospel reading that you and I take up. Lord have mercy, Kyrie eleison. And indeed, He is willing. He's come in the flesh to take our sins and our uncleanness into Himself and put it to death in His body. And He is risen to raise us also. At the last day, if not sooner, the Lord will cleanse and remove all infirmities from us. And we will recline with the saints in our Lord's eternal mercy. Now, the faith of the first character in today's gospel, the Jewish leper, this is eclipsed, Jesus says, by the faith of this Gentile soldier, this Roman centurion, a man of 100 men in the army. And Jesus marvels at his faith. How many times does Jesus do that in the Bible? And what is this man's faith? It's not simply a cry for the Lord to have mercy, but it is also a cry that is mixed with both confidence and humility at the same time. Now, those things might not seem to go together, confidence and humility, but they do. And it's shown in this saying that is well known to us, I think, from the centurion. Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only say the word, and my servant will be healed. Now, where is the man's humility located in this saying? He's humble when it comes to himself. He, after all, is a Gentile. He's a Roman. And the Savior of the Jews, Jesus, certainly ought not be troubled by his problems. True. And more than that, he is a sinner. God doesn't owe him anything. Also true. Humbly acknowledging this, though, he stands before the Lord. His confidence is not placed in himself. It's not in his status. It's not in his good works. It's not in his origins or his background or in any such thing. So where then is the man's confidence to stand before Jesus? It's entirely in his word. And that's the amazing part, isn't it? If the Lord says so, then this man knows and is confident that he has every reason to be confident. Think about the Old Testament reading, that story that we heard. Another great story of God's revealing his glory. Naaman, a Syrian military man, didn't come with half the faith of this centurion. Actually, he came with his own ideas of how God ought to help him out and heal him. God ought to do it with a show. He said he was really disappointed. He wanted the prophet to wave his hands around and to call out to God loudly. Instead, all he got was a little promise connected to Jordan River water. He's about to run away, ticked off, right? But Naaman's servants stop him. They pull him back. They recognized what the centurion also came confessing. And they say to him, you actually have a word from the Lord, and you're not going to listen to it. What more do you need? Will you not trust it? The word is enough. A word cleansed Naaman even in dirty water from the Jordan, which he thought was a lot lamer than the waters of his own town. Well, the Word cleanses you, even in the waters of baptism. The Word then cleanses and heals the centurion's servant too. If only the Lord would speak that word. And He does. That's the authority that the centurion recognizes. The Word of Jesus has all authority in heaven and on earth. This is the Word that creates light and everything in the world. This Word makes lepers clean. This Word makes sinners forgiven. God's Word does what it says. So only say it, Lord, and it will be Amen. And it will be so. This marvelous prayer of faith, that I'm not worthy to have you come under my roof, but say the word, and your servant will be healed. It's humble with respect to us sinners, but it's confident with respect to God's sure promises. And this marvelous prayer of faith, this is the traditional prayer that Christians might say before they receive the sacrament. I pray it quietly, you never get to hear it. I pray it to myself before I eat the Lord's body. And if you want to, you also may pray it to yourself in the pew or as you're walking up here or as you're kneeling down at the rail to receive Jesus. And really, isn't this a perfect prayer, a perfect word of God for that moment? We adjust it slightly, I suppose, so we can apply it to ourselves. Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof. Yes, our houses, I suppose, too. But especially here at the Lord's Supper, we're thinking about the roof of our mouth. But only say the word, Lord, and your servant will be healed. What can cleanse us to be worthy of receiving our Lord Jesus, His body and His blood? It's only His Word. It's only the Lord's Word of forgiveness. But that is the very same Word that makes His body and blood present for our forgiveness. It is the Word that He gladly speaks to us. And what this little prayer borrowed out of the centurion's mouth says is nothing other than what you, dear saints, have learned all of your life from the small catechism. He is truly worthy and well prepared to eat and drink the Holy Communion who has faith in these words given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Whoever believes these words has exactly what they say. The Lord is no liar after all, and His words are not empty. They are spoken with full divine authority. He's the Lord. He has mercy. And so we are healed, we are cleansed, we are forgiven, just as He says to us. The last phrase from today's gospel that makes it into our common Christian use is the one that Jesus says to the centurion. Let it be done for you as you believe. These are words that the pastor speaks in the context of individual confession and absolution. You can find them in the Catechism's brief order for confession. And you can also find them in the hymnals version too. That's on page 293. Why? It's because of what we hear the Sunday after Easter, that Jesus gives this authority, that if you forgive the sins of any, He says to the apostles, they are forgiven. As the Father sent Him, so He sends out His apostles and ministers. Jesus wants His powerful word of forgiveness to be spoken to humble and believing sinners. And God has given this authority to men, the authority to forgive sins on earth, as we hear every year on the 19th Sunday after Trinity. The forgiveness which I speak is not my word. It's not my idea for you. Just as it wasn't Elisha's power or word to Naaman. It's God's. It's the Lord's word. It's the word that has its power, not from me or from you, but the power from the blood of Jesus Christ that has taken away those sins. And that's why in private confession and absolution, it's the only question that has to be asked. Maybe other questions are asked too, but this is the important one. Do you, dear Christian, believe that the forgiveness I am speaking to you isn't just mine, or isn't just the church's, but is God's own word of forgiveness? Do you believe that my words are not my own? If you don't, why come? But if you do, then know that your faith is not in vain. Do you believe, as the centurion did, that if only this word from Jesus is spoken, then it will indeed be healed? Then faith has exactly what God's word says. Faith gets what it believes when what it believes is Jesus' word. The I am is willing. And he says, let it be done for you as you believe. And I, the pastor, say to the penitent, let it be done for you as you believe. And by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And you are forgiven, are you not? Truly, indeed. Amen, says faith. Amen, says the absolved Christian. Our Lord Jesus Christ has mercy on you. His word does what it says. So let it be to you also according to that word. Believe it, dear saints, and let it be done for you as you believe. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.